Call recording on.
Hey, this is Tom with FitLunch, and I'm here today talking with Chris McCombs. Chris, you online?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, what's up, Tom? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Sweet. Yeah, I got you. Got you loud and clear. So, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me a little bit about your business and about blogging in general, and kind of looking forward to hearing that. So, how's it going down there in Southern Cal?
Oh, it's awesome, man. I think it's like 72 degrees outside. The sun's shining, and it's a good day, man.
You're just trying to make me jealous, I think. So, so I'll end that part of it right there. So tell me, you're down there in Southern Cal. I know you got a personal training business and you do a lot of stuff online. And just tell me in general how you got into it real quick so that the folks that are listening to this kind of have a clue as to who Chris McCombs is.
How I got into personal training or how I got into internet marketing?
Well, I'm kind of interested to know how you first got into personal training. I know you got a bit of a story there. And then how that advanced into getting to the internet, because it seems like all business is going that direction. How to work out for you?
Okay. Cool. Well, for the first 15 years of my teenage and adult life, I was just hooked on a buffet of narcotics and bad habits, and I broke all that about 8 years ago, and I got into really good shape, man. I started following those guys over at what used to be called testosterone.net, and I think it's now tnation.com, but I just started religiously following those guys' stuff, and I got into such good shape, and people were asking me left and right for tips, so it became obvious to become a personal trainer. I became a personal trainer, and then found it really hard to get clients. Started at a corporate gym and just couldn't stand it. It didn't resonate with me. Broke off on my own. And found it hard to get clients. And so what I did is I took on like 25 or 30 people for free who ended up paying me with referrals. And that worked really well. And within, I had a six-figure business with less than a year. But the thing was, I was working all the time. Even though I trained groups, I trained 4 to 6 people at a time. And I was booked solid with paying clients. I was working a lot. And even though I was able to get it down to where I was only training like 3 or 4 days a week. Sometimes those were like 10 or 12 hour days of training groups. And anyone who's listening who trains groups, you know, for that many hours solid knows that that can be very drained.
You extend yourself like the boot camps now where you're doing the multiple participants inside your small group trainings. But even that became an hour-to-hour issue for you?
Oh, yeah, because I was booked from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. and then from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. back-to-back, you know, 10 hours a day with clients. And when you're seeing 6 people at a time, there's a lot more that goes into just training the people. I mean, you've got scheduling stuff. You've got billing stuff. You've got people flaking on the workouts who are trying to call you because they want to make them up. And people bringing in referrals. And you've got new lead calls coming in. And it's like, so between 11 and 3... That was, you know, I mean, I wanted to catch my own workout in, and I wanted to eat lunch and take a nap because, you know, I didn't like waking up at 5 a.m. and always made me a little tired, so I'd need a little nap in the middle of the day. But, there was just no time. It just felt like I had no time to work on my business. I read that book, The E-Myth, and it explained basically it's the three hats the entrepreneur wears, which I'm sure, you know, that you're really aware of, Tom.
Yeah, with
it. The technician's hat, the manager's hat, and the entrepreneur's hat. And the technician's hat is basically training the people, making the workouts, making the nutritional programs, running the boot camps, that kind of stuff. The management hat is basically scheduling the workouts, getting paid, paying the trainers, that kind of stuff. And then the entrepreneur's hat is basically making the business grow. And I was completely neglecting that end of my business.
Definitely needs your time. So,
what's
that? Go ahead. Sorry. I just point out every one of those needs, you know, commitment and time to it. But and if you're neglecting the business side of it, it affects everything else down the line. So, sounds like you made a decision to spend a little more time on that business end.
Well, what's cool, internet marketing has allowed me to pretty much be only the entrepreneur now, and I basically delegate out all the technician's hat, which is the training, and I delegate out all the management hat. And I pretty much just like to wear that entrepreneurial hat these days. If I still loved training, I would probably do it, but I'd do it less and on my own schedule, and I would delegate out most of it. But
right, and I know you're doing a lot of coaching now. Is that correct? Professional coaching with other
trainers? Yeah. I do a bunch of coaching with other boot camp instructors, personal trainers, health club owners, and stuff like that. So I guess in that job, I do wear the technician's hat for the hour when I'm on the call there. But the majority of my business is entrepreneurial, and it started when I read the E-Myth, and I actually got my first MySpace account a number of years ago, and I went on and used some strategies on MySpace to get a whole bunch of clients, and then I discovered Craigslist and used a bunch of strategies on there, and I go, well, hey, man, there's a lot to this internet marketing thing. And there wasn't really anyone teaching it in depth in our industry. I mean, there was a little bit of stuff out there, but no one was teaching it in depth, and none of the big internet marketing gurus were teaching it how to do it for a local-based business, like for a boot camp or for a training business. So I basically joined, like, every program I could and had to take bits and pieces out of these amazingly expensive programs. Some of them
it's quite an investment. I'm well aware of myself. I know some of the folks that you've been through, and it definitely makes a big difference. So along those lines, so you took this into the online side of life and started doing some internet marketing to enhance your business. How did that change your business and get me into blogging? Because I know that's one of your specialties. I've seen your blog. You definitely have a lot of personality there. So how does that fit into your internet marketing side?
Oh, okay. Well, so through internet marketing, basically through social media, classifieds, organic search engine listings, and pay-per-click listings, I was able to get so much business from my training business that I said, hey, I don't even have to train anymore. I've got all these new clients coming in. So I was able to step down. I hired a personal assistant to manage all the trainers and manage all the billing, and my wife was customer service, and I stepped back and got into I'm going to kind of teach some of my stuff, because honestly, I got kind of bored with talking about working out and stuff all the time. For me, that got a little old. I got really into internet marketing was what I wanted to talk about all the time. It's like, well, you know, when I found myself, what's that?
My wife calls that the inner geek coming out, but I'm not sure how you view that. Yeah, I've been accused.
Mine's my kind of, I have ADD for anything I'm not completely into, and I have OCD for those things that I'm really into. And if someone wants to talk about, like, American Idol or something, man, I can't even go there for, like, 2 seconds. But if they want to talk, like, internet marketing, I'll just get all amped on it. I could stay there for 3 days just talking like some tweaker just going off on internet marketing. So, you know, take me to a party, man, and I usually – if there's 50 people at a party, a lot of times I'll have nothing in common and won't want to talk with anybody. But if I can find one SOB, man, who wants to talk internet marketing, man, my night is, like, set. I can sit there and talk to that guy all night. So I got into blogging to want to talk about internet marketing, and my blog got really popular really fast. It became the most popular fitness business blog out there in a very short manner of time. And so that's kind of how I got into blogging.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions specifically about the blog, and I don't have any blog. I'm letting everybody know, it's like kickbacklife.com, is that your blog?
Yeah, kickbacklife.com, kind of like kicking back, you know, kickbacklife.com.
Right, yeah, so everybody take a look at that thing, because it's a great example of how a high-end blog can look. So, but overall, what do you see, what are the benefits of a blog? How does that benefit your business? A blog is just a piece of your website, or, you know, and actually in the Kickback Life, it is the website, but what kind of benefits do you get out of that?
Okay, well, let me take the mile-high view on this one. If a fitness professional or small business owner or boot camp instructor or personal trainer or health club owner, whatever, is getting in to internet marketing, there's something they kind of need to understand to make it really simple. Internet marketing boils down to two simple things. It boils down to traffic and conversions. Okay, you want to get a lot of traffic, and once you get it from qualified people, and once you get them, I mean, well, you want to get targeted traffic, right? People are looking for what you have, and once you get them on your site, you want to convert them to whatever it is you want them to do. If it's call about your boot camp, if it's opt-in for your free fitness ebook, if it's sign, you know, it's a sign up for your boot camps, whatever it is you want to convert them. And I have found that people are really skeptical today because they had so much stuff shoved down their throat on the internet. And we see so many marketing messages a day that one of the best ways to kind of bring people into your funnel is to build relationships with them. Absolutely. I believe in having at least two sites, one site being a heavy sales-based site that is optimized for the search engines and has tons of before and after pictures and testimonials, and it's just a go-for-the-throat, you know, just going for the kill, make the sale kind of site. But then I also believe in having a relationship-building site. And the relationship-building site is where you actually bond with your target audience. You get a whole bunch of posts optimized for your keyword terms, so you can get a lot of traffic on the internet for your keyword terms, and then you really bond with them when they come in to your site. And the way I treat a blog will bring people into your funnel that over time you want to move those readers over to customers. And you do that through a number of different ways. One of them is driving them over to your sales site, but definitely not by making every post a pitch. I mean, matter of fact, you want very few of your posts to be pitches. But there's other ways to tastefully drive them over to your, you know, go for the throat, go for the sale, sales site.
Most of the time you're just offering informational, good content in the blog, good conversational topics, and then every now and then you're throwing in something that suggests that they go to your other site, which is the sales site?
Yeah, I basically, on the blog, I give them a lot of good content with a lot of stories and a lot of personality and a lot of fun, and I'll kind of go over that strategy, because there's a lot of mistakes most people make, and if you just know what they are, they're really easy to avoid. What I do is I'll have, like, links over to my sales page, and then between in the posts, I'll basically usually put like a little opt-in box. I'll have an opt-in box in the top right corner of the site. I have a little static box on my homepage between post 1 and 2 that is an opt-in box. So I'm constantly going for the opt-in on my. I want to get people into my opt-in. And then in once they opt in, whenever I do a new post, typically I'll put a broadcast out to my list with just like 1 or 2 sentences. Just go, hey, I just did this crazy post about this crazy thing. It's going to help you with your search engine optimization or whatever. You got to come check it out. Usually like 1 or 2 sentences with a link, and a lot of those people will drive over to the blog. And then also I'll have my Twitter. People can find my Twitter profile from my blog, and then I'm able to drive them from Twitter back a lot of it over to.
So let me just clarify something. When you're talking opt-in box, you're basically talking like most people would think of a sign-in for a newsletter. It's basically where you're getting them and you're getting their name and their email address to create a list so that you can contact them later. You want them to opt in for that type of thing, and that's what you're just shooting for, correct?
Yes, and I want to build a relationship with them and send them, pitch them on stuff once in a while, but the majority of the time is to send them high-quality information. Because if you just pitch them, they're not gonna opt out. They're not gonna buy.
Right.
It's like abusing your list. But if you do give them a lot of good content, and then you pitch stuff here and there, they're much more likely to buy. They'll stay on your list a lot longer. They'll open a lot more of your emails. Click a lot more of your links. You'll be way better off.
Right. So talking about giving them good content, do you have any tricks or techniques to use for coming up with interesting angles or topics for your blog? How do you decide what you're going to talk about and keep it fresh?
One strategy that I use, having good content is important. However, on the internet, there's so much content out there that, especially if you're writing about fitness and stuff, I mean, you're competing with, I mean, let's just say your target audience is guys who kind of want to pack on some muscle, right? I mean, you're competing with T Nation, you're competing with bodybuilding.com. Why are people going to come to your little blog for some article about lunges when they can go get 50 articles about lunges on T Nation, right? So one of the things that gets people to come back is because they're interested in your character and they feel a bond with you. And one of the best ways to build that is to, I like to treat my blog readers as if I'm best friends with them. We're sitting at some little dive bar, with a couple pool tables in the corner. It's like 2 o'clock in the day on a Friday. We just got off work. There's like 8 other people in the whole bar. I mean, Bob Seger's cranking on the jukebox, and we're just sitting down, like talking about life. And I just happen to have discovered a few shortcuts and secrets that you, my best friend, haven't discovered yet, and I'm sharing them with you. And they've really made my life a lot better. And, you know, the more I can position myself as the idealized version of kind of what my prospect wants to be, the better. So basically it's just, you know, we're just two friends sitting down for a beer, and I'm just an average dude, just like they are, but I just have happened to stumbled on to the shortcuts and secrets to whatever it is that my blog is about. Mine's about, you know, internet marketing for fitness entrepreneurs, right? That's mostly what it's about. So basically those are the shortcuts and secrets that I would sit there and talk about. But if you have a fitness blog, I would talk about fitness shortcuts and secrets or whatever it is. But you don't ever want to talk down to people. You never want to come at them really professional or like you're a know-it-all or like you've been perfect all your life and you've been, you know, rich and fit and good-looking and amazing your whole life. Because people don't resonate with that. People resonate with a real human being.
Right.
So the more you can come across as a real human being, the more they're going to relate to you. And if you strategically show pieces of your character that you want them to see, that will kind of help position you in the way you want to be positioned, the better. And I can get into how to kind of strategize out your character and things like that. But that's a big piece of the bonding puzzle there.
Right. It sounds like you treat this as it's a much more casual and personal endeavor rather than a corporate endeavor. I'm not some big corporation, and you want to come to my corporation. You want to come to me because you know me. And on that point, then, so a couple things from when I've talked to you in the past as well as when I've read your blog, a couple things that you said, finding your voice and creating your character. That's kind of that's the advice you had given on how people write their blogs. So when you talk about finding a voice or what a person's character is or letting your character come out in your blog, what are you referring to exactly?
Okay, well, first of all, when I say character or persona, you still have to be authentic to yourself, right? You don't want to create, you know, something that's not you, but you want to look at yourself and go, okay, what parts of my backstory, the story of my life, do I want to share with my audience? What funny stories from my life do I want to share? What flaws about myself or mistakes I've made do I want to disclose? Now, if you've got any weird, like real funky stuff, I mean, I don't know, like go out there getting into some weird fetishes or something, but if you're like, you know, if you've been bankrupt or you've been divorced four times or whatever it is, you know what? Your audience will bond with you more if you admit that stuff, because everybody has flaws. And then through something that's called, you know, making a damaging admission, they actually believe you more because they're like, damn, man, if he'll admit to that stuff, you know, well, this is an honest guy. I trust this guy and I like him. He's being transparent. He's not trying to hide behind some veil. So you want to, you know, disclose stuff about yourself, and you also want to have things that you believe in. If there's enemies that you can be against, that is also an enemy that your market is against, right? You might want to have some kind of enemy that you stand against. You want to have things that you stand for. You want to have magical powers that you're known for, if you're known for helping people, let's say, lose 33 pounds in 67 days, and that's what you're known for. You want to constantly remind people of that magical power that you have, and you want to remind them of the miracles you've created. The miracles would be all the people you've helped get, you know, you've helped to lose 33 pounds in 67 days. You want to have the testaments of the testimonials up there of people who are constantly, maybe not testimonials around your blog, but people who are commenting on your blog who've gotten those kind of results, or you can kind of name drop. So you really want to think about what parts of you do you want to show. You know, what are you really good at? What mistakes have you made? What's your story? What are some funny adventures you've had in your life and your day-to-day stuff? And you really want to have something to say. And you want to make your blog like a whole different world that someone walks into. You know, look at Howard Stern, man. When people listen to Howard Stern, they walk, you know, I'm not a big Howard Stern listener. I have some friends who love him, right? And you basically, you jump into this world where it's okay for like men to be like boys and for them to tease girls and to not be judged by the girls and to have like fun. So he's created this whole world. Rush Limbaugh has created his whole world. When you watch his stuff, Oprah has her own kind of world going on there. If you know, for people who watch Oprah, you want to create a whole world when people come into and they know what to expect. And it's like you take them out of their day-to-day reality, and you want to do this while also giving them really good, high, valuable content. But the content alone, you know, even if, let's say you have the best content in the world. I mean, you know how to write an article about lunges better than anyone who's ever written anything for T Nation or whatever, right? Still, you're not going to get that many people reading it. They're going to come read it because they want to hear about the crazy stories of the adventures you've gone on and your kind of weird opinion on things. And you're kind of out of the box thought process and things like that.
So again, that sounds like you're basically you're bonding and building a trust level between yourself and the readers. And as they know your personality, as it's the transparency shows, they come back because that's what they want to see. So along the same line. Go ahead. Go give the end.
And make it fun. And the more you can teach things and stories, I mean, the more people remember things and stories way better than they do information. I mean, most people can. Remember, you know what I mean? They can remember the movie Shawshank Redemption or the characters in Seinfeld way better than they can remember anything they learned in high school or college. And that's because those things are told in stories. So you want to tell a story.
I've noticed that when Chris McCombs tells stories, quite often they're controversial. You like to take angles at things, and you tend to use controversy at times. So any thoughts on that? The aspect of controversy and whether we should all be worried about everybody loving us or whether it's okay to ruffle feathers. I mean, how do you intertwine those things?
If you're not a controversial type of person, then I maybe wouldn't do controversial stuff. Like I have some friends who are trainers who are pretty straight edge, man. I mean, you know, they I've never heard a swear word peep out of them. I've never seen them eat anything besides tofurkey and asparagus. And they're, you know, I mean, I've never seen them listen to anything except for New Age music. You know, I mean, they probably shouldn't be controversial. But if you have it in you, it's good to let that side of you show. And the reason is, well, one, it's going to get a lot more people interested in what you have to say. Kind of, you know, people are like, you know, oh, my God, what's that? What's this crazy thing he's talking about? And so it makes your stuff more fun. But also, it's better to be loved by some people and hated by others than liked by everybody. Because if you're liked by everyone, they're not going to give you money. But if you're hated by a bunch and loved by a bunch, then the ones who love you are going to give you a lot of money over time. So
right. So you use it well then.
What's that?
You use it. As I say, you use it well. You do a good job of that. You have a definite edge to your stuff, and it's fun to read. And there's a reason to come back. It's not always any specific piece of information. It's the personality of the blog, and that's one of the reasons I tracked you down and met you the first time was because I noticed the blog and I'd heard of you and knew what you're doing with it. So I think that's a real do a nice job of taking those aspects and using them to keep people involved. So
thank you.
You bet. So a couple basic questions on blogs. So there's just like Twitter. There are people that hit that thing and as well as their blog, and they're blogging three or four times a day. So multiple posts in there. Other people do it once a month, once a week. Is there a ideal timeline you like to run there? I mean, I know that it's not good to be waiting months in between your blog posts because no matter how good the last one was, they've forgotten about you by the time you do it again. What kind of an ideal or what do you shoot for when you're thinking of distance or timeline between blog posts?
Okay. I like to do once or twice a week. I kind of like to have a schedule where the week before I schedule in when I'm going to do my posts. And that could be, you know, you can schedule out the whole month. So I'm going to write my posts every Thursday at between 10 and noon. Or you can just kind of schedule it the week before. But you have to set time for yourself to write. And then I find that I write much better posts if I go for one a week than if I go for one every day, okay? I can, you know, even though the posts will be longer, it'll take me longer to write, I get a lot more links to those posts and a lot more, they get a lot bigger in the social media and stuff when I write them less, but I really pour my heart and soul into them. And you'll notice some days I might blog 3 days in a row. So maybe one was a scheduled post that I was going to do, but then two more are, I just kind of got inspiration out of nowhere to write a post. And then one of my most popular posts, I just got inspiration to write. I think I was watching The Office or something. Love that freaking show. I was watching The Office, busted out a post in like 25 minutes. It was called 41 Ways to Be a Lifestyle Design Badass.
I remember that one.
Oh yeah, it was, you know what, that thing, in one day I got 8,039 visitors to that post. And that was just an off the cuff, off the fly, probably the quickest post I ever wrote. I wrote another one that took me 5 hours, took me 3 hours to write and 2 hours to edit. That did really well too, and that was called, I think it was seven things that savvy marketers and pickup artists have in common, or seven things pickup artists and savvy marketers have in common. It's one of the two. That thing took me a ton of time, and that got really popular, but that was an inspired one too. I wasn't planning on writing a blog post that day, I just got an idea, and I go, oh, I'm going to run with this, and that one got huge. So some of my best are actually just kind of inspired in the moment, but I do find it's really important to work on a schedule. And there was a period of time where I used to do all my blog posts on the first day of the month, and I would schedule them throughout the month. So I'd actually write them, like, on the first business day of the month, and then I would schedule them to come out once a week throughout the entire month. But the key is, whatever you do, you've got to get on a system, you've got to get on a schedule, you have to do it on a regular basis, and you just have to do it, and it's going to take you 2 or 3 months probably. If you're not used to writing on a regular basis, it's going to take you a couple months to really find your voice, find your flow, and get good at it. But once you do, the momentum that can create is huge, and then it gets really addicting and really fun. And there's nothing like doing a post and going on the next day and seeing like 20 comments. It's like the coolest thing in the world. Yeah.
So tell me, so you write these posts, and we've seen different types of blogs out there. I imagine most folks that are listening to this call have seen different ones out there, and some are technical long articles, pure text all the way down, a lot of information. Other ones have photos in them. Sometimes they do video blogs, or they add a video with text around it. What are your thoughts on using other media within your blog?
Oh, I like it. I put videos in some of my posts. I put audio interviews in some of my posts. I mean, that's one of the best ways to get content, is just interview kind of industry experts or celebrities or out-of-the-box thinkers and interview them on subjects. And so, yeah, I love to use audio and video. But, however, I also like to put a lot of text in most of them, because it'll give you more juice in the search engines,
right.
You know, more keyword phrases to be picked up on, more text to crawl. So I like to and plus, I find I enjoy writing, and some of my best content, you know, turns out to be some of the stuff that I've actually written compared to some of the stuff I talk and things like that. Sometimes when you're recording yourself on audio or video, it's hard to go back and like tweak it. And when you write it, you can go back and tweak it and make it a little better. So
much easier to edit. Much easier to edit up, that's for sure. So you talk about how cool it feels when those comments come in. I know from running a blog specifically for our pro travel site, inside there, I mean, I might put in a post and I might get 20 emails back with comments, and maybe one or two comments on the actual blog itself. And it's far cooler when they comment on the blog, because it adds kind of an element of social proof, and it encourages other people to add comments there as well. Do you use any tricks to get people to actually comment on your blog?
Well, yeah. One thing I do is usually at the end of a lot of the posts, I'll go, tell me what you think, or what do you think? And people will see that little phrase line there, and they'll email me what they think. And you'll get some commenters who will come comment on most of your posts, which is pretty cool. So you'll get some regular kind of commenters who will keep coming back commenting. On my blog, because I was getting so many emails, I actually put a thing up that said, hey, I get a ton of emails. I can't personally answer all of them. I will do my best to read most of them, though, because I don't, you know, want to get a whole bunch of emails. So I've done that to kind of discourage people from emailing me the comments. And I should probably go add the sentence, you know, but please make a comment on the blog on that, where that contact form is. I didn't even think of doing that until right now. But because I would rather people, I would rather the comments be there for people to see. Now, I would make it to where you have to approve the comments, because you will get, you know, a lot of people who are just kind of coming by to say, great post, man. And you know what? A lot of times that's just some dude in India hired by someone out here to go on and, like, and post on a bunch of blogs so they can get a bunch of no-follow backlinks to...
I mean, that's one of the great benefits of actually participating in somebody else's blog, because you get a backlink. You're allowed to put a link. It links your name and your comment back to your own site. But you're exactly right. There are people, and I wouldn't doubt there are little spiders or robots that automatically go out there and find blogs that they can post on like that. So I've seen it happen before, but I've also had to get myself out of my own shell and try to comment on other blogs. It helps that blogger for one thing, and it does drive traffic back to me through that process.
Yeah, if you do go comment on other people's blogs, it'll do no for one. Most of them are going to use a no-follow link, so your link's not even going to count in the search engine. So I wouldn't do it for building links. I would do it to add value to the blog. Maybe to catch the eye of the blogger, if you want, to like maybe build a future relationship. And also, you know, you can get some good traffic. If you want to make a really thoughtful comment, you'll get some traffic from that.
Right.
But on your own personal blog, I would have your spam protector set up, and I would also make it to where you want to moderate the comments and approve them before they go live, because you know, you don't want a bunch of spammy stuff. And you've got guys coming on there trying to put a bunch of porn links and stuff on your site, and Viagra and gambling links, so you kind of got to watch that stuff.
So one of the last questions here. On that same point there, we talk about making comments on somebody else's blog. It doesn't necessarily give you the benefit of the link, but if that's a popular blog, there's a lot of readers, and they read the comments, and there's a chance if yours is thoughtful, they'll follow you back that way. What other techniques do you use for driving people back? I mean, that was one of your two primary pieces. Traffic is one of them, and it's always one of the tougher ones. You have search engine optimization, and some, what other techniques do we use to get people back to our blog to see it the first time?
One of the best is actually find some forums in your niche. So if you... for me, that'd be, you know, maybe forums where personal trainers hang out. If someone owns a local-based business, it might be some kind of local community forum or something. But you find forums where your target audience hangs out, and then go leave extremely useful posts and replies to posts, and start really good threads, and leave your link in your signature, but don't promote yourself in it. Now, you know, maybe if you've been in the forum for a long time and have a relationship with the owner and you've been given good content for 6 months, he might let you run a promotional post, but you don't want to be going in there saying, go buy my new this and sign up for my other that and all that kind of stuff. You basically want to just go in, answer people's questions, answer them better than anyone else does in the forum, leave really good content, make it interesting, and then just leave your link in your signature. And there are some forums where I'll get like an average of 20 visitors a day from, just from particular forums. So
just from giving, and that sounds like that's the giving side of things. So
it's all about that.
Do you use social media? Other aspects? You mentioned Twitter. Do you use other? And you started out using MySpace. Is being comfortable in other social media is helpful?
Yeah, Facebook is a good one. Forums, I would say. Twitter and Facebook is really good. If you can get your target audience to be your Facebook friends and, you know, go put some good content on there, some good things about what you're up to, be a real person, and then once in a while, you know, you can promote and drive people over to your go-for-the-throat sales site.
Very cool. So, yeah. Chris, you know, I mentioned your blog. How else does everybody find you if they want to get more information from you on blogging or other aspects of internet marketing, or just kind of follow what you're doing? Where do we find you, and what else you got going on?
My paid site is that's marketannihilator.com, but that's I think it's sold out right now. It opens up once in a while for a couple of days. I think it's sold out right now though. But marketannihilator.com, people can go there. And then my blog, which we've been talking about this whole time, is kickbacklife.com. And if they kind of want updates and stuff, they can always go there and opt in the top right corner and things like that.
Great. Well, I know it's a great example of some personality and great use of a blog to get the to get your message across, and I'm certain in there there's probably links to Annihilator. Probably has that site probably has a link in there somewhere. Be able to get from one to the other.
Oh yeah, a link for what?
Well, just see between as your market Annihilator, which is that's more of your that's your actual coaching, your sales site for your coaching program, right? Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of a higher end membership site. That's super in depth, step by step marketing videos covering all of internet marketing for fitness entrepreneurs. That's a paid thing, and I opened it for a week. It sold out really quick, and then I might open it again in the future. But if people want to get on a waiting list, there's a waiting list link on that site there at Market Annihilator. And if they just want really good, free content, there's tons of that on KickbackLife.com. Tons of it, and then they can get updates from me by just opting in to my stuff.
Very cool. Well, hey, I talked to you a little bit earlier, and I know what your schedule's like. I appreciate you squeezing us in to spend some time with us talking on the blogging. It's something that we're going to be offering up on the site that the community is able to utilize, and getting some tricks and techniques from you to make it work better. It's
awesome.
Very valuable, so I appreciate it. Appreciate your time very much. So thanks a lot for joining me.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate your time, bro.